All right, hello everyone, welcome to GFG tonight. 1 hour late because there was Thomas was telling me from Odyssey that they are fighting a DDoS attack. That's why it didn't work earlier. So sometimes we have to tolerate these little things. The important is that we eventually get a show. That's too bad because we lost a lot of viewers. But as Defined points out, we're reduced to our most hardcore fans. That's what it is. Uza Defined says, yes, well, we're live now, and perhaps, in fact, we won't have buffering problems tonight since there might be less streamers. Perhaps they don't know that the platform has now resuscitated. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Let me know tonight if you hear a background noise because I have a big fan right here that I've plugged to the window, so it's bringing cold air from outside. I really enjoy it, but it's making noise. I'm hearing it, but I think it's not passing through the mic somehow. But let me know, are you hearing a throughout the show? Personally, I'm not hearing it on my headphones, so we'll see how that goes. Robert Paulson has been sending me a super chat during the night. He says, the movie wants us to believe there's a NASA manual. A NASA manual with the following instruction. If O2 runs low, give suicide syringe to least valuable crew member. Don't worry, they won't try to use it on you. To be fair, Robert Paulson, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, the twists and turns that are done in Stowaway to explain the structure of their narrative. You know, they have to make up a lot of bizarre explanations. But to be clear, the syringe was not given to the black man by a manual instruction. The suicide syringe was given to the black man on the initiative of the Korean man in the movie. So it's not like it was an official procedure. In fact, the Korean man specified to the black man, I'm giving this to you, and I'm telling all of you all this against what I've been told to do. So he was violating the procedure by telling him. Defined says, JF's hardcore fan is silent. Well, it's quite amazing because as a host, you know, you tend to think any noise will pass in the mic. I have to control every noise. But now I have a big fan that I can hear that does, and yet you guys don't hear it. Hopefully. Nicholas Petris says, SM7B is awesome at ambient noise rejection, it seems. Well, I don't even think the mic is known for this. I just think it's a directional mic. You know, it's a mic that if you were to speak here, you won't hear the same voice. It differs a lot. But for some reason, yeah, it's not catching the perpendicularly placed big fan that's right there. We should celebrate that. All right, so Stowaway. It's quite impressive in terms of a Netflix production, because there are some elements of this movie that are good. There are also some SJW propaganda of the worst kind. So it all starts with white and Asian only crew of three people. They are on a spaceship and they're flying to Mars. And Mama JF was like, this is a Netflix production and there's not a single black guy. I was like, let's wait, Mama JF. Everything can happen on a trip to Mars. And of course, what happens in the movie is that a black guy somehow was hidden behind an electrical panel of some kind. And he wasn't meant to be on that mission. So the uninvited, unexpected guest presents himself into... Well, at first he's injured, so they fix his injury and he's unconscious. He eventually comes back to consciousness and he's like, oh my God, how am I in a spaceship? How is that possible? And we learned that he's a master student of engineering. He was working on these special projects, but he wasn't meant to be a crew member. Now, throughout the movie, I'm thinking this guy placed himself there. He gave himself a ride to Mars for free by hiding in a little compartment. And yet, this is not at all an avenue that's explored by the movie. At first, they interrogate him a little bit, and then eventually they say, oh, he doesn't look like he's here on purpose. The guy mentions being a student who dreams of being an astronaut. He would totally be, and on top of it, since he's stuck in the spaceship, he negotiates with the company that does the Mars trip, and he gets them to pay all expenses for his sister who is still on Earth and who he has, who he's in charge of because their parents are dead. This is all something that would lead me to conclude this guy has intentionally gotten on this ship to get an opportunity that he thought he would be rejected. All right, I will be banning this guy because I don't like his nickname. Bye-bye, sir. So we are stuck with this black guy, and the whole thing is a metaphor for America. And it's very clear at one moment of the movie because they are lacking oxygen at some point, and they're telling the black guy that he's going to have to die. He's going to have to kill himself because there's just not enough oxygen, given that one apparatus was broken by the black guy. And on top of it, there's the black guy consuming oxygen. There's just no safety margin for that much unpredictability. So they're saying, you're going to have to kill yourself. And so he says, you know, he says, in space, this is so different. Like, he says, thank you to the female doctor who's fighting for him and saying, no, you don't need to kill yourself. He says, thank you, but this is a different thing. This is space. I mean, this, I can't mess up the lives of three other people just because I'm here. This is space. It's different. And the lady doctor answers, no, it's not different. So basically, the lady doctor, by saying this, is revealing the whole spaceship is a metaphor for America. It's that America got ahead towards success and had this guest, this unexpected guest in the country. Initially, they had no democratic right, and eventually they got democratic rights, the slaves, basically the descendants of the slaves today. The African Americans. So this guy represents the African American in this spaceship. And the whole idea of oxygen being limited is the whole idea that reaching success is not available to everyone. Opportunities are limited in our capitalistic system. And whenever opportunities are limited, you'll see white and Asian people fight for them. And they will be asking the black man, don't fight for it. Don't try to reach this success. Don't try to get that oxygen. It's not yours. This is what the movie is suggesting. Defined says, how much oxygen did he breathe? Well, whatever amount he was breathing, it was too much for the survival of the four. So they play with some greens and some algae with the hope of producing oxygen. But eventually the whole thing goes to crap. And so the female doctor is an important character in this movie because she is the only fertile female in this whole thing. There's the commander of the ship who is too old to have babies. There's the Korean guy who has a wife at home, but he's so fascinated by his botany and his caring for the plants that he wants to put on Mars that he hasn't had a child yet. And then you have this young female MD who is also a specialist of space excursion in her suits and everything. She's very good. She knows everything. She acts like a scientist. but she's the only one who's a young female, young reproductive female. And somehow this movie will find a way to have this girl sacrifice her life willingly to save the black guy. That's basically what the theme of the movie is. And it's the whole idea of the white population must leave their place to something else, to someone else. They must leave the chance to another group to succeed, another group to breathe some oxygen. And this girl did the right thing by killing herself with a solar storm, irradiating herself with the consequence that, of course, she was able, by doing so, to bring back a pot of oxygen for the black guy. Because at the point where the alga of the botanist fails and they all die, so they don't produce oxygen anymore, they have a situation where there's only oxygen for two people left. And so the Korean and the doctor girl, they take the spacesuits and they reach another part of the spaceship. And this is where this movie has something that is adding to... It's adding to anything I've seen in space movies. This is new. The new thing in this movie is the gravitational simulation system being a different one from the interstellar one. So in Interstellar, artificial gravity is produced by the fact that the ship is a circle and the circle is rotating. And so you have centrifugal forces that are pushing away from the center of the spaceship. And so if it's rotating like that, people will experience a kind of gravity-like attraction toward the borders of the ship. Now, in this movie, the gravity simulation system is an entire 400-meter tether. And I love it. I think it's fascinating what they've succeeded at doing. So you have a 400-meter wire that attaches a kind of anchor. It's like just weight. There's weight there. And then there's the main spaceship. And they slingshot this so that it's rotating like this. So as they advance toward Mars, they are basically launched like one half of a slingshot, and it's rotating. Robert Paulson says buff. Nicholas Petris says first buffer of the stream. All right, let me know, you guys, if some of you are not buffering, and let me know when it's coming back. So this tether aspect is quite fascinating. The main thing that's totally different from any other movies I've seen is that there is a gradient of gravity. So they find themselves with the only option to go toward the anchor 400 meters away from the spaceship to gather a bottle of oxygen that's there because it's their last source possible. Everything else is broken. And why is there oxygen there? My understanding is perhaps the oxygen was necessary to explosive matter that initiated the slingshot. I'm not sure. From watching the movie, I didn't readily grasp it. But somehow there's oxygen there. And so they go there, and as they climb the tether, that is a very special action and science fiction scene, because at first you face the gravity of being on the spaceship. You climb the tether and you're holding your whole weight as if you were escalating a mountain. And then you reach the middle of the tether and you're in, you don't have to work anymore. You are weightless at the middle of the tether. And then you continue climbing, and back to the anchor, you experience gravity in the other direction. So we have this very complex scene at the end where gravity will be experienced. You fight away from gravity, you reach the middle, you are not weighting anything, and then you go toward the anchor and you're falling toward the anchor. because it's a bilateral system. Of course, the system exists to produce artificial gravity in the spaceship, but you end up having an accidental artificial gravity on the anchor. So people are saying that the buffering is getting bad. Tick, 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 tick. Tick, 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 tick. We're approaching July 1st, where I said if it's still buffering all the time, we're going to have to find another home for the show. Defined says, the Tether's gravity is so strong, its mere mention distorts our stream. I'm not sure it's related. So they bring back, of course, there's a solar storm that happens as they are at the anchor. So now they have to do the whole return trip toward the main spaceship while having the worry of a solar storm incoming in 20 minutes and carrying the bottle of oxygen. And she didn't have time to fill the second bottle of oxygen. So they mess it up. They try escalating the Tether back to the main ship. She falls because as she comes back toward the main ship, the artificial gravity of the main ship is now attracting her, so she falls onto the main ship. She drops the bottle of oxygen, it goes away. And it's fascinating to be in space, but to see something fall. This is where my mind was blown by this movie at this level. Of course, the leftist crap was annoying, but you see something fall in space. And it's like, yeah, you know what? You are creating artificial gravity, but one of the consequences, you can't drop stuff around the spaceship. Now, the fact that she dropped the bottle of oxygen will basically make it so that there's now only two people who can survive in the ship. And they're back to the ship. They haven't solved any problem. On top of it, they ran away from a solar storm, and now only two people can survive. So the reproductive age female decides to say, it's okay, guys, I'll go. I can do it. And she ends up redoing the Tether trip under a solar storm while getting irradiated by visible particles that are burning her skin. And so she does the trip to get the second bottle of oxygen, which she could have gotten. But they were deciding that they were returning with the first bottle, I guess, just to save at least one person and to avoid the solar storm. So she decides to sacrifice herself, her life. Buffocalypse, says Robert Paulson. That is really too bad. I mean, Odyssey, man, I love the free speech on this platform, but it's impossible to work. That's the problem. Like, I'm trying to play it right now to see, can I get Robert Paulson? That is really too bad. I mean, Odyssey, there I am, I'm speaking, but it's buffering. It's stopping now. How do we can't impose this on our viewers. I'm gonna have to change platform. If on July 1st, I'm very serious, I'm going to have to change platform. Rumble, people are saying, is Rumble up for live stream? Is it a reasonable place to live stream? Do they have quality live stream? Because I've been already imposing on my viewers too long of buffering and injuring this. I can't make a living that way. Can't make a living. You can't make a living having people shit their pants because it's suffering to watch you. It's John Drake says, yeah, rumble.com, the streaming is much better than here. Kind of a boomer platform, but it works. Man, I'm sad to be going to Rumble because I don't know what's the attitude of Rumble with free speech. I'm not sure and YouTube is crap. Ariel Suarez says, no, not back to YouTube. I mean, on YouTube, I don't even know if I could talk about the theme of tonight. We're going to have to make decisions, guys. It's nothing is going to be easy. John Drake says it's working. I mean, I'm streaming at super low quality at 1,300. Odyssey was a very promising thing. Man. I hate losing pieces of the internet, like leaving people behind, leaving things behind. Defined says 1 minute delayed works. And Cosmic Nut says, Jeff, refresh. Well, okay, I'm gonna refresh my window. I just refreshed it, to be honest. Let's say I put it 1 minute in the past. I'm still seeing buffering. I'm still seeing there's nothing delayed works. Bon. And here I am. Yeah, so I guess okay, maybe one of the solution to buffering is just watch 1 minute delayed. If you guys want to try this. Watch with 1 minute delay to avoid the buff. I mean, couldn't Odyssey do this automatically? It's like, if you're realizing that the experience of the user is suffering and all you have to do is reset to 30 seconds delay, basically the problem of Odyssey is that they don't implement a delay high enough. Why don't you make your platform so that zero is minus 30 seconds? Why don't you make the platform so that it's having a little more of a tampon of safety, margins of safety? This is what we talk about in this very movie, Stowaway. Take a margin of safety, Odyssey. Yeah, people are reporting it's working. So how is Odyssey not doing this? I don't really mind if people receive me 1 minute late. I think it's doable. It sucks for the super chats and everything, but anyways, I don't get to super chats immediately. 1 minute delay works. Everything is reporting that 1 minute delay works. Well, let's get this resolved because don't tell me we just discovered what Odyssey needs to do. Suggestion. I'm going to write to Odyssey right away. Suggestion concerning buffering. My audience found out today that to avoid buffering, they can just rewind the stream 1 minute into the past. They therefore get the stream a little late, but it solves the problem of buffering. Would it be possible to make it an integral option of the platform such that the browser automatically starts with some safety margin to avoid buffering? Buffering has been a big issue for the lives. Best, I will sign with my channel name. We have to get this solved. Either this is solved or I have to leave. We cannot accept buffering in the streaming business. Ariel Soraz says, do bear in mind some of us will be delayed by 1 minute, JF. Yeah, but that's okay. 1 minute delay is not dramatic in the streaming business. because even when you do a super chat and I want to get to it, generally I will finish what I have to say, I'll get to it. So 1 minute more is acceptable. And anyways, they could do 10 seconds. They could do 20 seconds. Just do it until you find the moment where most people don't experience buffering. Thomas O'Ward says, I'm a couple of minutes behind, but it seems like streaming on multiple platforms simultaneously could be a workable plan for now. These alternative platforms are all late in the game and far behind in terms of funding compared to YouTube. Yeah, the multi-streaming option is a thing, but is it a thing in Streamlabs OBS? Multi-stream, is it a thing? How to multi-stream? Even though it has been around for more than a decade, blah, blah, blah. How to multi-stream? For someone already used to streaming content, going live on multiple sites is not that difficult. To start multi-streaming, creators need to know the platforms they are using, blah, blah, blah. To multi-stream, creators need to set up accounts. Yeah, I know I have to set up accounts. Pick the multi-streaming solution. Set up the multi-streaming solution. Yeah. That's what I want to get to. How to multi-stream in Streamlabs desktop. Okay, let's have a look at how that works. Because we built this multi-stream feature from the ground up, we've designed it to be as streamlined and straightforward as possible. Open Streamlabs desktop and click on the settings cog. Open your stream settings, add a stream destination. But do I have this option? I don't think I do. Is it something you have to pay for? Stream destination? Streamlabs desktop. That's what I have. Update your stream info. Is that something I have to pay for? Do you have to pay for multi-streaming on Streamlabs? Do you have to pay for multi-stream Streamlabs? How to multi-stream for free? Stream type. Download and install OBS Studio. From here, go to the service drop down, then choose your supported platform. Capture the Streamlabs feed on OBS Studio. Okay, so they use OBS Studio separately from Streamlabs desktop to stream to the second platform. After setting up both Streamlabs and OBS Studio, it's time to duplicate your video stream. Yeah. Okay. But I hate that we have to split the crowd, man. Do I have to gab both the link to Odyssey and the link to Rumble? It's kidding me. I like to be at the same place, everyone. Anyways, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey Super Chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for Super Chat. And Entropy is also available if you'd like to use Entropy. Some random bloke says, hey JF, have you read Robert Plumman's Blueprint book? Blueprint. I read a couple of Robert Plumman stuff. Did I read Blueprint? Let me tell you. Blueprint. I read the I was like, I read a book called Blueprint, but it's the book from Nicholas A. Christakis. So it's not Robert Plomin. Robert Plomin. Blueprint. Yeah, Robert Plomin. I haven't read his book, but Robert Plomin is generally a guy who drops good red pills about genes. He's basically explaining to leftists, there's no way out. You're going to have to accept that genes matter to human behavior. However, he always refuses to engage with group differences question. And that's just annoying. It's like, okay, you're getting the normies 95% of the way, and then you drop them down the mountain. I'm not helping you anymore. Yeah, so just like many leftist academics, he suffers from an incapacity to discuss the truth. But by the way, I was contacting this guy from IDs Sleep Furiously. Jan yesterday wanted me to contact this guy. He sent me a super chat. And so I offered him, I can go on your show and everything. And he launches this whole discussion trying to determine if I'm a white supremacist. And he's like, I don't want to believe what I see on your Wikipedia page. Let me ask you, how would you, what kind of policies are you advocating? And he starts scanning me and scanning my life. And then he's like, should I get you on the show? Should I? Should I, given that, you know, you have, I would have to clear my throat so many times, and I would have to tell my audience what I think about your personal life and this 19-year-old you had sex with. I'm not sure I can get you on the show. What do you think? Like, suppose an, I will exaggerate the situation, but suppose there was a Nazi who wants to come on my show. Should I invite him just because he has some basic knowledge about some other things that I want to talk about? Or should I keep the Nazi from coming to my show? And I was like, bro, I explained to him, like, if you're following this kind of guilt by association and trusting these lies about me and these smears, you are letting yourself be controlled by the system. You are making yourself a slave to a bunch of people who have decided that certain subjects, certain pursuits of truth, would never happen. Now, so I don't know if he's going to have me on the show. But he was on this kind of hesitation mood. And I'm not the right guy to convince you out of such hesitations, because my comment is, if you refuse to engage with the truth because you have read some smears about the person carrying the truth, then you don't deserve the truth. And he was explaining to me, like, JF, please understand, I want to promote some degree of dissident thought. I think we can convince a lot of normies, as you call them. But we have to go easy on them. I think that there's a big market for promoting people like Edward Dutton. I think he has a great crowd, and he's shown a lot of success. Like, bro, Edward Dutton has not reached my knees in terms of internet fame. Edward Dutton has never had hundreds of thousands of viewers the way we had on our shows in 2017. And you're going to come and tell me, just like the Nick Fuentes crap, this is the same thing. You're going to come and tell me that a guy who writes book titles such as Spiteful Mutants and Why Islam Is, I can't even say the words, you're going to tell me that this guy is more optics than me? These people have lost their fucking mind. It's like they don't have any understanding of internet history. They don't know who they're talking to. They don't know who I am. It's so sad to see a guy who claims I have this whole secular ID show that explores the tough questions. And for you, it's too hard to conceive that an adult male would sleep with an adult woman and that he would get smeared with lies about it in a Daily Beast article. Holy shit, people are fucking stupid. And I told him many times just how stupid he was. I mean, not in an aggressive manner. I actually took him by the hand to explain, look, you are doing the worst kind of fallacies that are possible. And he was like, yeah, but you know, and you know what he said? One thing that totally triggered me. He said that he remembers Sam Harris refusing to talk to Stefan Molyneux because Stefan Molyneux had talked to Jared Taylor and Jared Taylor had talked to David Duke or something like this. And he says, you know, he had a good point. I was like, a good point? Guilt by association? How is that a good point? And he was like, well, you know, if we, my goal is not just to talk about the truth. Oh, what's your goal? My goal is to get that truth to the crowd. And if the crowd reacts too much, too emotional about who I invite in, I'm not going to get my truth communicated. And I was like, okay, well, you are letting a mob, not even a real mob, a mob that exists in your fucking deluded head, you're letting a mob control what kind of truths you will have access to. Man, this guy is sent me on a depression just knowing that he exists. Because there's a serial production of these idiots. The internet has like, I think I could find you, literally, I could find 1,000 YouTube channels that claim to be about IDs and the truth and the pursuit of truth, and none of them are capable of even engaging with the basic truth, like IQ differs between races. Like, I had to give him a full course on this. Like, it was like, and at some point, unbelievable, this guy, unbelievable. At some point in the conversation, he says, while I could agree with some of the facts and I could be swayed to believe that some of the facts that you're talking about are true, I wouldn't want to expose these facts on my channel to a, so that eventually it would get into the ear of a 85 IQ bigot in my audience that would take these facts and do wrong with it. I was like, well, here's another fallacy, the fallacy by argumentum ad consequentiam. You are arguing that because there's a consequence to an argument, that the argument is false or that you shouldn't talk about it. And I was like, do you realize that you shutting down speech? And by the way, I wasn't even bringing facts that were anyhow edgy or anyhow problematic for YouTube. I was really just laying down, like, if a truth exists, we should be able to talk about it. I was just saying this. And he was like, well, I wouldn't want these truths to be heard by my 85 IQ audience. I was like, first, you are being condescending toward your audience. Secondly, don't you think that hiding, don't you think that the people can't see what's happening? That the truth is being shut down on a given number of subjects? That, and by participating to the shutting down, you are creating probably much more violence than you would if you were just to acknowledge the facts. Because people will see that you're lying. People will see that you're like, ah, I'm philosophically sound. I don't like fallacies. But when it comes to subject ABC, you are willing to commit these fallacies like in a chain production. Some random bloke says he is having Richard Lynn on. Yeah. That's always with these guys. It's amazing how they have an arbitrary conception. Like, oh, Richard Lynn, Edward Dutton is okay, but JF is not okay. Are you fucking kidding me? I never wrote a fucking book saying that a bunch of people were stupid. Never wrote a book like this. Never. In terms of if you want to play optics, I'm better than Nick Fuentes, better than Edward Dutton, Richard Lynn, maybe, because Richard Lynn is kind of obsessed about his characterization of IQ. But yeah, I never said anything more edgy than any of these guys. And somehow they decide, well, you know, too much trouble. The truth is too much trouble. Thomas Howard says, I have some concern with the practice of dismissing arguments based on the quotation of some fallacy. Is there a formal fallacy related to this? For example, I don't believe the often quoted slippery slope fallacy is actually a fallacy at all. Not anymore. I agree with the slippery slope. The slippery slope is a fallacy if you can't prove that you are faced with a slippery system. But like, if you were in a car and you're driving toward a brick wall and someone says, hey, we're gonna hit this brick wall, like, if things continue, we're gonna hit this brick wall in 30 seconds. It wouldn't be a slippery slope fallacy. If you came out and said, that's a slippery slope, it assumes that the car will continue to accelerate. Slippery slope fallacy. No, the fact is there are certain systems that are headed in a direction. Cars, speed, evolution are things like this. So you're absolutely right about the slippery slope fallacy. However, the general thing that you describe is called the fallacy. And it doesn't apply to the slippery slope, because the fallacy is specifically when you can identify a fallacious structure in an argument, but you are therefore assuming that the argument must be wrong. So basically the fallacy is kind of comedic, but it states it's not because something is a fallacy that it's wrong. You could say... You could say, one moment. You could say, planet Earth revolves around the sun. It's obvious. You can easily see it by having a ball spin in your living room and make another ball spin and it will spin around the other. You may have seen this in your room. So you have committed but it's a false premise and false assumptions about the parallel between balls and planets, because there's no gravity affecting your balls. There is gravity affecting the planet. So you are making a fallacious argument, but you are ultimately correct on the fact that the planet revolves around the sun. So that's the fallacy. Some random bloke sends a super chat. He says, a good new book about race and IQ that goes for the truth is Race and Evolution by Professor Stephen K. Sanderson. Pulls no punches. Well, you had me buy that book, right? Because I have it in my Kindle, cloud Kindle reader. So I'll get to it very soon. Lendald Guntram says, because 85s may be good at reproducing, and JF is an exponent of reproduction. Thus, there is a working overlap there, at least one possibility to consider. Robert Paulson says, every online academic got a bad taste in their mouths during the Bloodsports days because he systematically owned the libs, So they try to systematically deplatform him now. Deplatform, I don't know. Yes, I've been deplatformed from Twitter, that's for sure, but it's probably not academics doing this, but definitely there's a bunch of people who have been annoyed by my correct arguments of 2017-2018. I enjoy the life that we have. I enjoy that, as I was explaining to this guy, someone was asking, what was this discussion? It was this discussion with a guy who has a very small YouTube podcast, 100 views per video, and someone wanted me to go to this show. I offered him because I had a super chat requesting that. And the guy started saying, I'm not sure I should have someone like you. We are about IDs, but... And so that's the whole story of this conversation. But as I was explaining to this guy, I didn't care about fighting the false allegations against me, because the way I see it is it's kind of an honor that enough people care about you to lie about you. Not many people will have this luck in life, so... Even when it was happening back then, these false articles about me, I was like, you know, let's make the best out of this. This is going to give me exposure. The fact that people are attacking me means that I'm annoying them, that I'm important to them. And it's a privilege to be part of the 0.01% of people who are hated enough that... People take the means, they invest energy in fucking up my life. Thomas Howard says, I'm enjoying JF's explanation of the slippery slope fallacy, debunked. Although so many from the live stream hate it when I do this, my engagement with JF on God is based on this. He says, for example, if you are standing on the street corner and can plainly see a speeding truck coming, but the man next to you doesn't see it, how much would you have to hate that guy not to do everything in your power to stop him from stepping off the curb? Maybe this is a slippery curb non-fallacy. I like these terms. I like this idea that there would be a kind of counter-fallacy to the slippery slope fallacy. I love it. Like the failing of seeing the slippery slope is... a major failure. That came up in 2016-17 on a stream with Sargon of Akkad, where there was a bunch of people, they were arguing, and I said to Sargon, no, that's not a slippery slope fallacy, because he's making the case that the system is slippery. He's saying, here is a slippery system, let's be careful about it. The slippery slope fallacy ultimately only is a fallacy when you haven't proven that the system is slippery, or you haven't even argued it, and you assume it falsely. White House forced to dismiss the idea of abortion tents in national parks. Open abortion clinics on federal lands in red states right now. Oh my God, they're trying to find the loophole. What if we were, you go to a national park, it's like you have to protect nature, don't touch the squirrel, don't feed the ducks. But then there's a giant abortion clinic in a tent right there. And they were saying, I think people don't realize just the number of safety issues to be making open sky abortions in national parks. Oh my God, I cannot believe that this is where the leftists are headed. This makes them look so ridiculous. I think they're going to pay the price for this at the election. Fauci suffers much worse COVID symptoms after Paxlovid rebound. The meme is, say the line, I got COVID, but I'm thankful I'm triple jab or it would have been worse. Yay! Absolutely great meme. Mama JF is here. What's up, Mama JF?
JF, I told you about the clinic.
The clinic? You told me about open sky clinics in national parks?
Yes, I told you they would make a hang with the hanger, with the coat
hanger.
Oh,
no, but it's not with coat hangers. They would send actual doctors there. Yeah, it's not the coat hanger thing.
You sure?
Yeah, it's Why? Like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says, we will build clinics on federal land, so state law doesn't apply somehow. I don't know if that works legally. I don't know if the federal government can come into a state and commit crimes. You know, I don't think they can. So I don't think that would work, even on federal land. It seems to me that there would be a jurisdiction for crimes against the person. The jurisdiction would be state. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the federal government can do that kind of stuff when it relates perhaps to land management. If it's a federal land, they will manage it in whatever way they want. But to be coming there and killing babies, I don't think they can. Woman 21 who rarely went out is killed by stray bullet in Philly bar after angry customer took pot shots from the parking lot because the pool table was occupied. Oh my god, a reproductive female, boobs, everything. When I see females like this dying, I'm so sad. They live in those big leftist towns. They get shot by random bullets by some idiots who I'm seeing so many murders, so many stray bullet loss. We're seeing people being pissed at the amount of mayonnaise that they had on their Subway, and they killed the Subway employees. It's absolutely scandalous what's happening in town. And you know, here's one more incel guy. Because this girl was living in a town instead of living in the countryside. It's so dramatic. What a loss. And I wanted to talk also, since we were talking about movies tonight, I wanted to talk about... Well, did I answer? Oh, yeah. The Robert Paulson Super Chat. I had answered it... in the show that failed, so let me answer it now in the show that's on the record. The movie wants us to believe there's a NASA manual with the following instructions. If O2 runs low, give suicide syringe to least valuable crew member. Don't worry, they won't try to use it on you. And as I was explaining in my response to this, but the show crashed, it's not what's happening in the movie, because in the movie, the Korean decided by himself to offer the suicide option to the black guy, and the woman came in and kept him from doing it. I also wanted to talk about Oxygen, a 2021 movie. Also, now I'm going to be spoiling it, so spoiler alert. And the spoiler, like, is very much at the end of the movie in this case. It's a movie where a beautiful female is trapped in a cryogenic device. And she's stuck in there and she doesn't know where the cryogenic device is. And the whole movie is her stuck in this... in this device. So she tries to contact people because she has communication. The cryogenic chambers are somehow connected to the network. And it takes a long time to develop, so it's not a movie that's super fun. But the punch at the end is quite, you know, it's a level above what you expect, because this kind of movie, we've seen it again and again. It's like, okay, the guy was in Afghanistan and he was whatever. I'm gonna spoil the movie here. She's in a spaceship. She's a clone. Everything she remembers about her life are actually inserted memories inside her brain. She's a fake woman, basically produced, who had no life at all. She was inserted memories of a life so that she thought she would be human. She is in a mega spaceship with 1,000 different human beings, cryogenic human beings. She's just a clone, a copy of those that were sent with the hope of seeding humanity onto another planet. So the fact that she woke up during the space travel is just the result of an asteroid that hit the spaceship and killed like a couple hundreds of the eggs of the cryogenic chambers, basically. And that's it. So it's really grandiose at the end where she sees, oh my God, she's in a spaceship. Oh my God, I'm a clone. Now you have to understand it's a French movie. Sorry. Very rare that it's the case, but it's a French movie in space. But at the same time, there's just really one scene where space appears and it's at the end. I find the concept relatively fucked up and very interesting. It's interesting to consider, okay, this girl is a synthetic human being. Her memories are not true, although she did contact planet Earth, but you know, the people she contacted on planet Earth were not allowed to reveal to her what she really was. Thomas Howard says, I hope JF gets the opportunity to review the upcoming Christopher Nolan movie, Oppenheimer. Very much looking forward to it, particularly if the character of John von Neumann is featured. Yeah, I've been hearing about it. I'm a little bit anxious because I'm a big fan of Christopher Nolan, and I'm afraid that making a history movie of that kind, I don't even know, it's the history of what? What is it about? I don't know. But any history movie, I'm very afraid because Christopher Nolan is at its be it is at his best when he does embedded structure movie. Can he pull that off from a story that already exists? Because Christopher Nolan, when he's good, is okay, you have embedded dreams and a dream in a dream in a dream, and you have inverted time and inverted time against inverted time. That's what I want to see. I'm not sure I want to see a history movie from Christopher Nolan. I'll watch it though. I'll watch it. What else do we have before we conclude the show? Because tonight was harsh. It was hard to handle the buffering, and they've been DDoS tonight, the Odyssey team was telling me. Transportation Secretary warns there are going to be challenges with flights on 4th of July weekend. Well, shit. I'm not surprised. It's been happening already. Some big city district attorneys vow not to prosecute abortion cases, setting up legal clashes in red state. I don't know how can we handle this. Can they be fired by the legislative branch? Because these guys are district attorneys in Democratic areas of Republican states. How do we get to fire them exactly? I don't know. But they are vowing not to apply the abortion laws. To me, this should be immediate dismissal. Doesn't make sense to me that you would have different application of the law based on the preferences and personal beliefs of these district attorney. I don't think their little revolt will last long, but I don't know exactly how will we stop it. Thomas Howard says it will surely be about the events surrounding the Manhattan Project, the making of the atomic bomb. Oh yeah, now I remember. That's it. Well, I'm excited about this. It's kind of interesting, scientific, but it's not what Christopher Nolan does usually. I just don't want to ruin the perfection of the record of Christopher Nolan. He is the greatest filmmaker of all times. Demon Destruction emerges as Americans cancel road trip, so the price of gas is so high, people stop planning trips, and no one wants to buy the gas, and that's the reality of the market. And finally, what do we have? White House is quietly modeling for $200 oil shock, while the Biden administration is hoping and praying that someone, anyone, will watch the comical January 6 kangaroo hearsay court taking place in Congress and meant to somehow block Trump from running for president in 2024, while also making hundreds of millions of Americans forget that the current administration could very well be the worst in US history. It is quietly preparing for the worst. So they have models that bring the price to $200. I don't know. It's okay to model, you know. It doesn't mean that you expect this reality for sure. I don't know what would happen with gas price. Maybe the gas companies have realized you can't drain more money from people. And if so, they will take it. Thomas Howard says, The Dark Knight Rises is one of my all-time favorite films. The escape from the Lazarus prison scene is the most meaningful to me personally. One of the greatest scenes ever put to film, in my opinion, John Drake. The Dark Knight Rises. Which one is that? Is that the one with the Joker? The Dark Knight Rises. Eight years after the Joker's reign of anarchy, Batman, with the help of the enigmatic Catwoman, is forced from his exile to save Gotham City from the brutal guerrilla terrorist Bane. Ah, yeah, the Bane one. Well, the Bane one is kind of cringy to me. I'm surprised that you are finding this one of the all-time favorite films. It's kind of cringy, the Bane one. I don't know. I find the whole character relatively unrealistic and poorly played, this Bane guy. I find the whole speech device that he has annoying. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm French and I don't like when a movie makes it harder to understand the guy speaking, especially a main character like this. Also, the whole aspect of the, if I remember this correctly, this would be the movie in which there's this whole ninja at the bottom of the well kind of story for Batman, where he's stuck at the bottom of the well and he has to rise up to get out as a child. And and there's Bane and there's Batman and the little kid that was Bane. And then Batman is related to the same ninja master. I don't know. It's to me, it didn't pass. I was annoyed by this movie. Nicholas Petris says, I only saw TDKR once at the theater and I kind of hated it or didn't get it. Yeah, he's just not a good enough villain to me, Bane. I wasn't finding him at the height of the Joker for Batman. Alright guys, that will be it for tonight. It was already hard enough to survive up to now. I thank you very much for your patience, and I'm sorry we are experiencing these technical issues. Hopefully, it will get better or we'll be gone. We'll have to leave Odyssey. I'll be looking at multi-streaming. I'll be looking at Rumble. Man, do I want to build a Rumble channel? Ugh! Based says on the chat, JF, would you agree that learning statistics is better than calculus? Dawson said this when talking about teaching children, as statistics is used to fool you on the regular, and calculus is useful only for those specific applications when innovating and creating stuff which concerns few people. I actually, this happened on my show, right? Ryan Dawson slipped this as a statement, and I think I was too busy commenting on other things that I let it go, but I find this kind of bizarre. To me, statistics has always been the bastard child of mathematics. I am annoyed at statistics. I'm not interested at statistics. The thing is, statistics should play a functional role. When you do science, you should understand enough of it to be able to apply it correctly, and that's it. Understanding the deep structure of the equations of statistics? Nah. Anyways, there are so many assumptions. It's all wrong anyway, you know? There are so many assumptions that comes with these tests that we don't really respect. And people who's big fans of statistics will tell you, oh yes, JF, we're testing for normality. And yeah, you are, but you don't know. If you're studying the phenomenon to begin with, you don't know. Because the whole idea of statistics is, hey, we have these randomly generated numbers with a certain pattern. Let's suppose that what's happening in the universe looks like this randomly generated number. Then we should expect that the meaningful differences will appear here. And then you define a threshold like 0.05, and you decide anything below 0.05 will mean that it's statistically significant. And this threshold is absolutely arbitrarily determined. And I'm not even going through the whole weakness of these multiple comparison test procedures, which are all flawed, which all make a very poor trade-off between finding things for sure and also discarding findings that are actually true. So false negatives. Anyways, I have my big qualms against statistics. To me, it's a domain that is not evocative for the mind. So if we're talking about raising young children, statistics would be the most annoying thing to tell them. Teach them about Euclid, geometry, axioms, systems of thought. Teach them about calculus eventually. But teaching them P, T-test, ANOVA, that kind of crap, I mean, they will hate you. I would hate you if you had forced me to learn statistics for anything else than the minimum that I need for the scientific work that I want to do. That's all you need. To me, it's a function. To me, it's like, it's not even learning to screw a screw or to hammer a nail. It's less than this. Statistics is a low-level, uninteresting science. That being said, I think there's something interesting about statistics, and it's when you take all these already existing tests like ANOVA and T-test, and you look at the fundamental reason why they reveal some sort of measure of information. And to me, the only interesting part of statistics is when it gets overlapped and crossed with information theory. Now, when you start thinking in terms of information theory, and instead of having those bastard numbers like R squared, correlation coefficients of crap, and you start asking, I have a square here. Points could be distributed in clustered ways or unclustered ways, and the position of points in this graph could be compacted in a certain amount of bits, and the spread and the variance can be seen through the lens of bits. and even the R squared can be seen through the lens of bits. That to me is starting to tickle me in terms of having fun. But below this, you know, there's these guys who are very technical, and they will tell you everything about these tests. And oh my god, do you have your chi squared table, bro? No, I don't. Thank you.